We're about to start our unit on locative suffixes, and this unit only covers a fraction of the locative suffixes, but it is about 10 of the most important suffixes because they are used quite a lot. And for short, they are suffixes that roughly correspond to situations where in English we would use the prepositions at, in, or on. Let me just list these 10 suffixes for you so you have a better idea of what we're talking about. First, these are the suffixes that we might paraphrase as at. Ich, us, is, and a. These all go on the basic location word ich. Ich is our basic verb to be at a place. But ich can be embellished by any of these suffixes to make it a little more precise. So ich just means to be at a place. But if we add ich to it, we get ich. That's a long I. Ich. Ich means to be at somewhere indoors. If we add us to it, we get hi-is. This is not what we expect. So this one is irregular. But hi-is means what we would get if we added the us, the ending us meaning outdoors, to the root hich meaning at. Hi-is means to be at a place on the ground outdoors. If we add the ending is, which means on the beach, we get he's. He's. And if we add a, which means on the rocks, we get hi-ya-a. Hi-ya-a. Now, the significance of these four important suffixes is that they represent the four places where, for thousands of years, West Coast people have spent most of their lives. In the house, outside the house, on the beach, or on the rocks. By on the rocks, we usually mean rocks on the shore, that is rocks that are right on the ocean, but this suffix is also used for rocks elsewhere. One important place where we use it for rocks elsewhere is in a fire pit. Fire pits are usually lined with rocks, and when we talk about things in the fire or being thrown into the fire, we use the on the rock suffix. So we're now talking about suffixes meaning on. The two that we'll talk about are as and ah. If we combine these with the location root hich, we get hichas and hichas. The difference between these is that as means on a platform and ah means on a screen. Now, when I say platform and screen, I'm not speaking specifically. I'm speaking very generally. I'm talking about platform as a prototype. And there are lots of things that are treated as platforms in Nuchana. Examples are tables, chairs, shelves, the back of a horse, a tree branch, a log that's on the ground. These are all treated as platforms. What they all have in common is that they are horizontal surfaces. That's what a platform is. Hisas means to be on a screen. And again, by screen, I don't mean what we think of a screen nowadays. Nowadays, we think of a screen as something that projects images. But what I mean by screen is a non-horizontal surface. So screen and platform are prototypes. They are abstract concepts that abstract clusters of properties and many things in our world can be classified either as a platform or as a screen. Some things that count as screens in Nuchano are clothing, walls, pages of a book, posters, to name a few. I'm working on a domain poster for these 10 locative suffixes that I think will really help clarify some of these things. It can be hard to remember at first what counts as a screen, what counts as a platform. So in English, for example, we would use on for both. We can say there's a fly on the wall and he's sitting on the chair. But in Nuchanov, we would say, Hisas ish quatsitsum. He's on the chair. Hisas ish quatsitsum. But Hisas ish matsquin. Hisas ish matsquin. The fly is on the screen like surface. When we talk about a design on a wall or a piece of paper or a piece of clothing, the word we want is o'us. which locative suffix do you see in os? For example, we might say, Payatseko os ish nishana. There's a wolf on the shawl. Payatseko os ish nishana. And here we're using the suffix for on a screen because a shawl is considered a screen in Nichon. And any just like any other piece of paper or clothing. Last, let me introduce to you the four suffixes that we will be learning for in. There are four suffixes here. It might look like we have five, but two of them are just different versions of the same suffix. The first suffix is tsu, as in hich tsu. This means to be in a container. Hityas, or hitax, means to be in a vessel. Hisit means to be in liquid, especially a river. And hityakt means to be in anything that doesn't count as a container, vessel, or liquid. So we have three specific in words and one general. That is, three specific in suffixes and one general in suffix. So I've introduced four prototypical locations. They are indoors, outdoors, on the beach, on the rocks. Generally, we mean these literally, but sometimes we interpret them a bit abstract. So, for example, when we talk about being in bed, sleeping, going to bed, we speak of it as if it's indoors on the floor. Even though we don't all sleep on the floor anymore, that's how we talk about it in Nichon. So bed counts as on the floor, even if it's not. When we talk about doors opening and closing or being locked and unlocked, we talk about them as if they're outdoors, even if they aren't. And I think this is because the earliest buildings only had external doors, so all doors went to the outside. Nowadays, we also have interior doors, but we still talk about them in Nichon as if they were outdoors. So we talk about an open door as kukwas, and a closed door as mushas. That's the suffix for outdoors, and we say that even for interior doors. On the rocks is also a prototype. So usually we mean the rocks on the shore, but we also use it for the rocks in a fire pit. And then I introduced six more prototypical locations. These are a platform, a screen, and these are important for suffixes that we would translate into English as on, platform or screen. And then I talked about the prototypes, container, vessel, liquid. And these are important for words that we would usually translate into English with the word in. And this is what I mean by prototype analysis. Using prototype analysis is one way of simplifying something that's very complex in Nichon. If you understand what these prototypical concepts refer to, it will be much easier to understand words using these suffixes. Good question. So we've had one question asking for examples of these suffixes, which we will get to in a minute. The other question is about the word chamasit. Chamasit, which we use for molasses, honey, jam, soda pop. These are all sweet liquids. And the question is, do we literally interpret chamasit as sweet inside a liquid? That is one possible interpretation. I can't tell you 100% yes or no on that. Usually I interpret chamasit as a noun, sweet liquid. But we could also imagine a locative interpretation. Sweet that is inside a liquid. And since they kind of amount to the same thing, it's hard to tell which is the right interpretation. Why don't we start by listing some examples of words that you already know that have the locative ending tsu. Tsu meaning in a container. So we just reviewed some common words that have tsu in them, including inktsu, which is a lamp. It has fire inside. Pikchastsuyuk, a television, which has pictures inside. Nuktsu, or nuktsuyuk, which is a music player. It has songs inside. Hitatsu, which is the name of the place where Geneva lives. It means literally in a container, but in this case it means in a bay. So music players, TVs, and bays are all treated as containers in Nichong. I just explained how ahs as in hiyas and ks as in hitux both mean in a vessel. They're just different forms of the same ending. Can we think of some common words that have this suffix? Here are some of the words that I heard mentioned as having the suffix for in a vessel. Hiyas is our basic at word in a vessel. Hiyas. By default, this means in a canoe. But nowadays, it can also mean in a car or anything that counts as a vessel. Vessels include not only canoes and cars, but also bowls, saucers, some cups and small bowls, and boxes as well are often treated as vessels. Lindsay H., I think you mentioned in guas. What is that? Hachwas. Whose word was that? Tom just pointed out to us the root of hachwas is the same as the word hachhui. Hachhui describes deep water. Hachwas is a deep vessel. In other words, a deep bowl. When we talk about a hot drink, like coffee, it is tlokmas, because it's hot and it's in a vessel. Someone asked me, why isn't it called tlupsit? Because isn't it hot liquid? And the answer is, there's probably not a good reason. A long time ago, someone just decided they were going to call it tlokmas, and that's what everyone's been saying ever since. Similarly, cold liquid in a cup is mahas. Mahasuksish kwapi. My coffee is cold now. Mahasuksish kwapi. And I believe Lindsay H. mentioned the word tsutsumyas. This is the Barkley Sound word for washing dishes. Tsutsumyas. The central northern word is tsutsuks. Tsutsuks. So these are almost the same word. They both have the root tsuk, meaning wash, and the suffix ahs or ks for in a vessel. So when you wash dishes, you're washing things in a vessel. So we're talking about the sink as a vessel, because its job is to keep water in. When we study locative suffixes, so far I've only been showing you the continuous aspect versions of these suffixes, but every single one of them also has a special complete form, and many of them have special complete causative forms. So, for example, the ending for on a platform is as, but its complete form is asik, and its complete causative form is asip. So we have, for example, hithas, hithasik, hithasip. But once you know these forms, you can use them with every single word that uses this ending. Another example is tikwas, a word you're all familiar with. Tikwas means sitting on a platform. And in addition to that, we also have the words tikwasik and tikwasip. Can someone explain to me the difference between those three words? Tikwas, tikwasik, tikwasip. What is the difference in meaning, and how would we use them differently? You all know that complete forms tend to end in barred lambda, and causative forms tend to end in P. Continuous forms are all over the map, so those are harder to memorize. But complete and complete causative forms are generally pretty predictable. That is something we'll get more into on Wednesday. So the question is, when do we use the causative ending up, and does it change the last sound of the stem? Like, tikwas ends in an S, does the S change if we add up to it? Part of the answer is, S does not change. The causative up does not affect spirals. So, na'atah up, tikwas up, tikwish up, all of these words end in spirals, and they're not affected by the hardening. Instead, we get a glottal stop. The other thing is, complete causative forms are frequently irregular and need to be memorized, but continuous causative forms are almost always regular. That is, a c- continuous causative is just the continuous plus up. But complete causative is irregular. So to make, like, to sit it down and be done, we don't just add up to tiquasic. Instead, we have to memorize the special form tiquasip. So I'll say that one more time, but it might take a while for you to grasp exactly what I mean by this. Both continuous and complete verb forms can be causativized. When we causativize a continuous form, we usually do it by adding up. So in that way, the causative form of a continuous verb is usually predictable. You just add up to its continuous form. But the causative form of a complete verb is often not predictable, because many suffixes have special complete causative forms that have to be memorized. To put this another way, every time you learn a new verb or a new verb ending, you usually have to memorize three forms: its continuous form, its complete form, and its complete causative form. You do not have to memorize its continuous causative form, because that is predictable. Let's start with these two English sentences. Josh is sitting on a chair. Dawn is sitting on the floor. I'm giving you a hint by giving you one or more words that I think you will want to use in your translation. Let's start with the first one. Who can translate into Nechanal, "Josh is sitting on a chair"?